Hey there, End of Effort family. This is Amy, and I want to bring this subject up to you. Just came up in my spirit this morning, and the title, as you will see, is The Deadly Jump of Conclusions. Jumping to conclusions. Oh my gosh, aren't we all guilty of this one for sure? And how many of you become avid climbers at climbing your way out of this whole thing of jumping to conclusions? I think we all have scraped our knees, bumped our heads, maybe even broken a few bones or here and there, or gotten out of alignment from trying to take this leap out of our own reason and logic, or out of defense mechanisms, survival, where maybe we were feeling cornered, even by our own minds, right? Our own minds throwing out these crazy imaginations of what's happening in a relationship or what so-and-so said. So we again jump to all these conclusions out of survival, like we've come to the end of ourselves and all that's left is to jump this cliff of conclusions in order for us to survive. It's so ridiculous when we think about it, because the whole thing is being driven by fear and not love. And we all know the acronyms for fear is false evidence appearing real. If there wasn't a better acronym for fear, I'm telling you, that is it right there. False evidence. False evidence. That's where this whole thing starts. We see something that we believe is evidence of something, but it's false, appearing real. And so we get ourselves all nicked up over this, and we end up hurting relationships, we end up hurting ourselves, and we end up all by ourselves at the end of these caverns that we tried to jump over and slid down. And now we really find ourselves in a predicament all by ourselves. So, hey, has anybody been there? Right? So the deadly jump of conclusions. Let's just break down what conclusion is from a psychological term. It's referring to a communication obstacle where one judges or decides something without having all the facts to reach unwarranted conclusions, like unfair conclusions, right? I mean, you've been warranted something that was unauthorized, undeserving, judgmentally, unjust. So in other words, when I fail to distinguish between what I've observed firsthand from what I have only inferred or assumed, we all know assumptions are deadly, because it involves making decisions without having enough information to be sure that one is right, this can give rise to a bad or rash decision. You know, quickly assuming, rash, meaning, you know, quick, we end up with the rash. The evidence is all over us. We have jumped to conclusions. And then we end up with an embarrassment rash on our face when we finally get all all the facts and the true story behind it. But why do we do this? I don't even think we consciously realize, because there are triggers inside of us. And sometimes God will allow, practically most of the time, God will allow situations to rise up, or in friendships or whatever, somebody to say something. And it is meant to draw up the dross within our gold. He's always after purifying us. And so it's that relational rub, as John would coin it, that relational rub that is drawing up the dross of things we can't see inside ourselves unless there's some form of pressure that arises. And so we're a lot of times blind to the triggers we have still lingering in us, you know, the triggers of a victim mindset or an orphan mechanism, the ego still sitting in our seat of power, dictating to us, even though we have a form of religion or spirituality. You know, there's just so many different things God can use to bring these things up. But nonetheless, they are triggers, they're belief patterns, they're mindsets of abandonment, mindsets of rejection. And when everything's going great with our relationships, we don't think this thing's there anymore until something happens. Wham, we jump to conclusions and boom, all of a sudden, it is right there to assist us in an emergency mode default pattern. Oh my gosh, I'm telling you. I got such a kick out of this quote I found. It says, "The only exercise I excel at is jumping to conclusions." And this is the very fact. You know, God is constantly training us up, raising us up as sons of maturity to have self-control. It's one of the developments of the fruits of the Spirit, right? And along with several other ones of gentleness, kindness, patience, all these things are being developed to push out the, you know, the ridiculousness of the flesh, of it only being our exercise to excel at jumping to the conclusion. So, yes, self-control, Lord, be it so. We all need it. We need to see things from His perspective. So another quote said here, "As you think, so you become," which we all know, right? For that, but our busy minds are forever jumping to conclusions, manufacturing and interpreting signs that aren't there. Oh, this is another big one. This is another big one. Because when we are in fear, we are getting barraged by illusions, barraged by images, and we are looking. Those triggers inside of us and our brain, the protection mode, all these things inside of us are looking for a sign to reject somebody, looking for a sign to have something against them, because we don't want to be hurt again. So we go into this protection mode and we are looking. But how many of you all know, we all know this, whatever you look for, you're going to find. The mind is that powerful. So we have a choice in that moment to be led by the flesh, led by our ego, our carnal nature, our woundings. And this is, it's like the moment of growth. It's like, do you want another lap around the mountain, or are we going to rise up higher? And then the other side is the Spirit, right? Are we going to choose to look at this differently and begin to activate the fruits of the Spirit that have been developing in us and not jump into these conclusions? And this is so rampant, isn't it, in the charismatic prophetic communities, is we're always looking for signs everywhere, signs. We're wanting to be led by signs. And then the danger of it is we add our own meaning and perception to it. This is deadly. This is the deadly jump of conclusions, because we're not moving out of relationship with the Lord and what He's telling us, because each person's different, each situation's different. But instead, we are tossed in that double-minded spiritualness of signs and wonders. And it leaves us with signs and wonderings. And so we are wondering and wandering in our own reason and logic, calling it spiritual and prophetic. This is so dangerous, because we have to choose. If say, for instance, a sign pops up, in that moment, we must ask the Lord, what does this mean? Because I sure don't want to attach my own meaning, because right now, my own meaning is saying run. My own meaning is saying red flag, right? Put up the defense modes. I don't want to go here again. I don't want to be hurt again. And so your past pain starts saying red alert, red alert. Let's not have a repeat. When God is like, come on now. Come on now, begin to activate the fruit I've been developing in you. Choose to side with the Spirit, not your flesh. Everything is about growth. And my gosh, God will give you the test over and over and over again, right? Until you pass it. So choose, right? Choose this day to pass the test, knowing that it's going to benefit us all in the long run. Otherwise, we will keep digging the trenches, going around and round the mountain. And the more round and round you go, the blinder you get, because that trench keeps getting deeper and deeper. Oh, man. Oh, my goodness. What a cycle, huh? So straddling between the two cliffs of opinion, deciding which one you'll leap on. And is it really like that? You know, we are so raised up in a black and white society, a right and wrong society. You know, we're taught that in religion. We're taught that growing up. Right, wrong, right, wrong, right, wrong. But in the kingdom of God, yes, of course, there's the set ways, His ways. But His ways are going to far even outdo the right and wrong syndrome. And it's something our ego, so chooses, right? Like we were sharing the other day on a Facebook Live, the fight to be right. You know, it's like John Bevere said it once, you can be 100% right and 100% wrong. And why is that? Because it's the motive of the heart. And that's what God is after. That's what the kingdom of God is always looking at, is the matters of our heart, not you were right and they were wrong. And besides, it's not going to get any resolve. You're just going to end up hurting each other. You may have won the war in the argument by being right, but you're not going to save the friendship, right? Because they feel disrespected. They feel dishonored. They're like, why were you, you just so had to be right and you couldn't even hear our hearts or side of the thing. So yeah, here's to maturity and growth, right? So do you often find yourself torn between what somebody says, like your friend, say you have a friend that comes up to you and they say, so-and-so said this about you, or your friend or your good friend, did you hear what they said about you? Or they told me this and I just thought I should let you know. The danger of this, as we all know, and we're so all guilty of this. Automatically, we want to go into defense mode and we want to have something. Here's the thing. This is a true test of the purity of your friendship with somebody and your relationship. If it's truly being grown with love, then you're going to stop and really be able to wisely assess what this person is bringing to you. And you're going to be able to fairly look. Okay, I will take what you're saying into consideration, but I know my friend's heart. I know their consistent track record of character, of intention. And so the wise person and the person that's building this relationship from love will go to that person and, you know, ask in a roundabout way, or can you tell me if this is something that's been bothering you, you know, to the maturity, right? The maturity to not jump to conclusions and automatically have an offense. Because why, first of all, you've got to ask yourself, why is this person coming to you and whispering this gossip to you? What are their motives? What's their agenda? And then if you leap to a conclusion of offense within you, that's another issue there, right? That God is putting his finger on. And so the danger as well in that is, and the test of what I'm saying with your friendship is, if you have any underlining jealousies of your friend or suspicions that you've been keeping to yourself, because once again, it's out of jealousy, you know, say they're more outgoing than you, or they have more favor in their life than you, or things always seem to work out for them, but not you. And so there's these underlying jealousies, and guys, this is so dangerous. I mean, look at all the scriptures that warns about jealousy. So leave it to the enemy to come and bring a little whisper of gossip your way that taints their character, to give you a hook, to hook into that offense and the danger. And then you just let that thing percolate and cultivate in you. And well, all along, your friend's trying to figure out why all of a sudden you've pulled back, or why all of a sudden you're going cold on them. And they have no idea, because if they had an ill intent or wrong intention, wouldn't they be the ones backing away from you and going cold? Not you. And so it's it's such a tricky thing, right? And it's just such an ugly hook is this thing of jumping into conclusions. So that's just something to gauge in your friendship, to really watch and see what is really driving this thing. And a lot of times, you know, I think too, the danger is when we've had bad experiences with past relationships, we tend to project that on a fresh new season or a fresh new relationship that comes in. And it's so unfair because we've already tainted that person. Say they say something in a way that the last friend said it, and boom, all of a sudden your triggers and alarms go off. But they're a completely different person with a completely different story, but you've already jumped to conclusions in your self-protection saying, oh, I'm not going to let this happen to me again. Uh-uh. So then automatically you start cutting this new friendship off, when all along God was trying to bring wholeness your way and bring you healing through these people, these new people coming in your life. So Man, if you can lasso that nasty thing of jumping to conclusion and burying that sucker, hang it up on the cross, and don't let it dictate to your future friendships or your current ones, so that you can really get free and enjoy the bounty and fruitfulness of what God's wanting to bring to you. Because, oh man, we just so often we are resisting the very thing God is trying to do in us. We are resisting growing. We're resisting new friendships. We're resisting all because we're in survival mode. Oh man. And that's no way to live. That's just stressful. We all have enough stress in our life. We're trying to get free here and live in the spirit. So the art of communication. Very few of us have tactfully mastered this. It is a lifelong mission, isn't it? Learning the art of communication. So when somebody says something and the crazy thing is, right, it all depends on the mood we're in too, doesn't it? Somebody could say the same thing when we're in a good mood and it not even phase us. But if we're in a bad mood and they say it, boom, it hits our triggers because we're already in a state of abandonment, rejection, upset about life, feeling we don't have something, something. I mean, you know, so the power of our mind to choose, the power of our mind to, you know, what meaning are we going to attach to this? And to really give people the grace they need when they're trying to communicate. This is such a wise discipline, isn't it? Is that when somebody says something, that we don't jump to conclusions and we don't judge it, you know, saying, how rude, that was so offensive. I can't believe they even thought that way. Do we even know their thoughts or their intention? Or are we just, again, feeding this old cycle of triggers within ourselves because we don't want to be hurt again, so we shut it out? You know, Luke 6:31, it says, actually, let me go back here. You know, Matthew 7:2. In the Voice translation says, indeed, you will be judged by the very standard to which you hold other people. And so think about this. We can either write them off, get offended, and then people think the same about us. Or it's like, again, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So are we going to offer them grace so grace can be returned in us in the same manner when we say something stupid that we didn't intend or we didn't word it or phrase it just right? Oh, man. I can't tell you how many times it's happened to me. I'll innocently say something, and because of somebody's past experiences or whatever, they will totally misconstrue it or be on the defense. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. You should know my heart. I didn't mean that at all. But again, I guess that's why it's so important we communicate what our hearts are and not expect people to read our minds. All our expectations. Oh man, aren't they just foolish? We have so many expectations, so many preferences, and it gets us into such a bind. Hence the let go life, right? The life of surrender. So let me just double check here. I wrote a couple more notes down that I wanted to share. Another element to this thing. Is choosing to stay in the gray. So a lot of times we can be colorblind in a relationship or when somebody says something again, right? And not seeing the full spectrum or point of view that maybe they were presenting it to us in or the manner they were presenting it to us. But because we only want to see and hear what we want to see and hear, we go right into defense mode. And so it's so important to see the full spectrum, as you all know. So Let's think about some tools that will help us when we get into a spiff with somebody, we jump to the conclusions, or we're following signs. Well, this must mean they don't like me anymore. Or, oh, they didn't want to get together with me when I reached out and had plans to get together with them. They must not like me anymore. They must think this about me. Or see, I knew it. See, I knew it. Watch out for that. When you hear that coming out of yourself, see, I knew it. See, I knew it. That is coming from a wounded state, more than likely. Get the facts. You know, how many times do we do this when seeing stuff on Instagram or Facebook? Like, say, for instance, You wanted to get together with them and they turned you down that day, and all of a sudden you see them at the beach or the ocean or somewhere having fun with a group of friends. Well, did you get all the facts, or did you just jump to conclusion and go right into that good old rejection mode, sitting on your merry-go-round of self-pity, feeding that thing? That is not the playground you want to live in. God is saying, grow up with me. Let's get the facts here. Let's not keep going through this cycle. And so God is really putting his finger on this, I think, for all of us as we grow and mature here. So, you know, it takes guts. I will admit, it takes guts. It is easier to slide downhill than it is to climb uphill, isn't it? It's not hard to get on that slip and slide. We just plop ourselves down and go for it. But what ends up? We get all soaked in our mess of beliefs. When God is trying to get us to come up higher. So, oh man. So yes, a tool. So this is a really good tool. Say when you finally do confront the person, or you're doing your inner dialogue. So an inner dialogue for yourself could be, what is the story I'm telling myself about this situation? Because that's going to be a dead giveaway of if you're being led by the spirit or led by your carnal nature. Say you call this person, or you get together with them and you bring up the issue, or you bring up what so-and-so said, or, you know, however it comes about. Ask them, okay, I want to hear, what's the story? So this is the issue at hand. What is the story you're telling yourself about me, or you're telling yourself about this? It's so important. And I think another thing that's going to really help, another tool and something to be aware of, is a lot of times we will project the way they made us feel. So like, I know there's been times where I didn't want to get together and resolve something with somebody because they were in a certain state of, you made me feel this way, therefore. And I knew that, okay, this whole conversation is going to be a dumping ground of them sharing the way I made them feel. But here's the real thing, though. It wasn't that I made them feel that way. It was that they chose to feel that way about a thing. They chose. This was the story they were telling themselves. They chose to add the certain meaning. And so I think what's going to help when you sit down more is to own it and say, I chose to feel this way about the situation. I chose to react this way. This was the story I was telling myself instead. Because if we say you made me feel this way, then we're still in the blame game and we're not taking ownership for the way we were viewing the whole situation. So then it just becomes a whole back and forth of accusing. Well, you made me feel this way. No, well, you made me feel this way instead. So I think it's so helpful if we say, this is how I'm feeling. You know, I'm going to take responsibility. This is how I process this. And this would not be your intention, I'm sure. So again, nobody can tell what's going on in your mind. Nobody can know the story you're telling yourself. So this is why it's so important we bring it into the light, as challenging as it is. And you really got to say, okay, do I want to keep this relationship? And of course, we know we need love. Love covers, love forgives, love covers a multitude of sins and all this. And we need to confront. The sooner we do, the better, oftentimes, or it just continues to fester and all the jumping to conclusions happen. Before you know it, the relationship is broken from so many jumps off that cliff. And so then you need some time to heal and repair and get back to finding out what the story was. Oh, so crazy, isn't it? But the quicker we can nip it in the bud, so to speak, and get the real facts, the less the enemy has a chance to run with our imaginations. Isn't that so true? And most of the time, it's just our insecurities talking. Our insecurities are dictating the meaning. If so-and-so didn't want to get together, you know, or they had other plans that they valued as more important, is what you're believing, than getting together with you. We've got to stop that. We've got to really choose to respect people, you know, as their own and have those healthy relationships and not be so focused on what I can get out of this relationship. But a healthy one is preferring one another, right? And just in not jumping off that good old cliff of conclusions. So, you know, Luke 6:31 in the voice says, think of the kindness you wish others would show you. Do the same for them. Oh, this is foundational in resolve, isn't it? Think of the kindness you wish others would show you and do the same for them. And then the passion says, however you wish to be treated by others, is how you should treat everyone else. And we all know this takes practice. This is coming into maturity. So I was asking the Lord about this whole thing, and I just want to share with you just a little bit of his words of encouragement and advice on this, of course. So he said about jumping to conclusions. Jumping to conclusions is your reason and logic gauging a situation. In the flesh, you can only see in part. Oh, so true. But in the spirit, I can reveal the intentions of the heart, both yours and the person involved. Moment of growth, right? This is why I ask my children to be led by my spirit. I have given you now access to see things from a higher and deeper place instead of being ruled by what you see or experience outside of yourself. To jump to conclusions is a soul living out of the flesh, reacting to the slightest whim instead of hanging it on the cross. When you stop flinching, you know you're, quote, dead, meaning you know you've fully surrendered your egoic ways of defense and have sought to ask me how to view it. This is the path of the sons of God. I love that. This is the path of the sons of God. Sons of light. That means things are brought to light and we're seeing from a completely different perspective, and we're not like this wild stallion that's never been broken in, jumping to all our conclusions, wanting our way, and our ego trotting all over the place. We have truly let the Holy Spirit train us, and we're now not dictating our own ways. We're following his leadings and promptings and nudges and seeing from a higher plane, which he leads us up to. So it's just amazing. I love that what the Lord said. This is the path of the sons of God. He continues, they're not deciding between two opinions. They are simply preferences and misconstrued views, the two opinions. That's why I'm beckoning my kids to come up higher and see things from my point of view. In doing so, you won't risk the leap of jumping off the cliff of conclusions. Oh my goodness. What a journey, isn't it? What a journey. But it's so good. It's just like, you know, what's that one verse? The Lord, he breaks you, but he also mends you. You know, he heals you. And a lot of times we're so resistant to this breaking. And it's this breaking is like, it's almost like a chiropractic setting in when we have been out of alignment. We've got a vertebrae or a bone out of place and it's irritating us. And that's usually when our flesh is leading, is we've got those irritations because we're out of joint in our true sonship of how to flow in union with him. It's just, oh, to the journey. But you know what? The Lord loves. He loves the development of our growth. He loves walking us through these situations because it's the bonding of the father and son, of the father and daughter, learning his ways, learning the unforced rhythms of grace. And so, yeah, so just wanted to encourage all of us, myself included, to not take that deadly leap, that jump of conclusions, and to really instantly go inside ourselves and to ask the Holy Spirit, what does this mean? What is the meaning that I should attach to this? Reveal to me the heart and the intention of that person, and really letting love cover a multitude of sins and having that grace to not jump to conclusions in the words they used, but actually see the intent of their heart and there to know their story and really give the grace there and be led by the Lord. And you all know the Lord will lead you. Say if that relationship is unhealthy now and he's grown you and they're trying to hold you down to a different place, but he will help you graciously walk that out and transition. So, but nonetheless, keeping in a place of love and forgiveness and always an open heart and open door. So, yes. So anyway, well, hey, we are all on this journey together. We're all growing together. We need each other. Iron sharpens iron, and we all got relational rubs going on in our lives. And it's all meant for our growth. I don't know if you guys ever heard the story. I'm sure many of you have, of course. It's a classic of Graham Cook sharing the story how these three, he called them the Three Stooges. And you can even go onto YouTube and type in Graham Cook, the Three Stooges. Shares about the story of, for like 3 years or so, these three guys, they were reporters or whatever, would show up at every conference and meeting he had and be writing all these falsities about him. And they were jumping to conclusions about him and trying to get the crowds to steer away of him and his conferences, telling him he was false, picketing outside, all this kind of stuff, right? Writing up news articles and turning pastors against him. So one night, he goes to sleep and has this incredible dream or visitation where the Lord takes him up into heaven. And he's sitting on the throne with the Father. And there's this carving, a statue of Graham. And there's these three hands that have been working on it. You guys will have to hear the details of the story. Anyway, and so he says, Graham, what do you think of that? He goes, oh, it's beautiful, Lord. It's absolutely amazing. He goes, I want you to cheer on those three pairs of hands. Just cheer them on, cheer on. Tell them they're doing a great job. And so he goes, I bless you. You're doing a great job. He goes, more, Graham. Tell them more. You're doing an amazing job. Keep it up. I bless you. And at this time, the angels are on the ground just busting up and laughing. And and so it gets done. He sees that it's the image of Christ been carved into Graham. And he's like, Graham, what do you think? He goes, it's just amazing. And he goes, okay, so would you like to see the three hands that have been carving you out and see, you know, the image that you've become? And he goes, yes, Lord, I want to see them and I want to thank them for the amazing work they've done. So out steps behind the carving, the image, the Three Stooges. And he wakes up out of this dream screaming, no, no. And the Lord had revealed to him he had been using them all this time to shape his character and to see from a higher perspective, right? That's what he did that night. Graham, come up higher. I'm going to show you what I'm really doing and what this is all about. So after that, he had a completely different perspective and he just started blessing the guys in person, offering them coffee, you know, hey guys, great to see you, giving them front row seats and all this kind of stuff. And I think Lance Wallnau has a similar story of this as well, of his own personal experiences, right? And same with Paul Young, all these guys. It's the training ground. This is all part of the process of our character development, right? 101. So anyway, after that heart change, it wasn't long and the guys moved on because he had got the lesson. He had learned and he had grown past that state of reacting and his preferences and wanting his way and jumping to conclusions with his ego and defending himself. So guys, right? The quicker we get this and overcoming and sinking into the Spirit and changing our perspective, right? Stopping the resistance and allowing and seeing what God's saying in it all, the faster we'll grow and get through this and receive the fruit, letting the fruit come forth. That is the goal. So, all right, y'all. Well, thanks so much for listening. Appreciate all your comments and sharing this as well. And stay tuned for more recordings coming your way. Love you all so much. Have a blessed rest of the day. Bye.